The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, welcome. Come on in. It is the first full Mark Davis Show of fall. I could feel the crisp, icy fingers of autumn. They'll be along soon enough. They'll be along soon enough. Nice win for the Cowboys. Nice weekend all over. I hope it was good for you as well. Let's dive in here on a Monday. So glad to be able to start off this way. Last week featured a bit of a dust-up between a couple of people I value a lot. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, whom I've known and loved for a long time. Michael Quinn Sullivan of Empower Texans, whom I don't know as well, but whose work I have long admired. Many Texas conservatives are fond of both gentlemen, but there is some space, shall we say, between them on gun control and the Speaker Bonin controversy, where Michael secretly, famously taped a conversation with Bonin in which the Speaker apparently offers a quid pro quo of House press credentials in return for help targeting some Republicans in the primaries. But it was the Lieutenant Governor's embrace of the enhanced background checks that we were talking about a week ago or so that sparked Michael to tweet as follows. Whether it is Beto O'Rourke wanting to outright seize your firearms or Dan Patrick trying to manage what you do with them, it is sadly evident too many politicians are all too willing to betray our Constitution in the name of their own political power. That struck some as harsh. It struck Dan Patrick to the point that he replied as follows. You know my plan exempts family and friends, so apparently you're fine with selling your guns to total strangers who can't pass a background check because they could be a violent felon or someone bent on mass violence. By the way, release the tape. You're destroying our party. Well, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick joins us, and we'll pick up from here. Morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Mark. It's good to be back with you. And I did have the opportunity to listen to a segment you did with a reporter last week, as well as your comments. I just was in I was halfway around the world where I couldn't call in at the time, and didn't have
no
either
problem.
Cell signal or the time. But,
no
but I did want to make you my first interview coming back, because I rarely, if ever, respond to anyone's tweet. Rarely, if ever. In fact, I think it's probably been less than a half a dozen times. But I thought the comments by Mr. Sullivan were so out of line. It's not helpful to our party, as we must rally and focus on what our mission is, and that is in 2020. We cannot lose the state of Texas for the president, for Senator Cornyn, or for the Texas House. I fully believe Donald Trump is going to carry the state, and Senator Cornyn will win. I'm concerned about the Texas House greatly. And so our mission needs to be on Democrats' mark, not firing at each other. And I just felt that Michael was way over the top and not being helpful here on several issues.
I think that, well, maybe we can work on those, and I'm certainly glad to talk to him, too.
Sure.
I think that speaking of you and Beto in the same breath, even though he, you know, is not equating you, that's something I can see a reaction to. But if indeed it's time for kumbaya and unity, suggesting that the guy is destroying our party is not exactly a unifying message either.
Well, Mark, you have to respond at times, and that's what I said just a moment ago. I seldom, if ever, in my 16 years in office, have responded to anything he has said or others have said. Seldom. I'm sure it's happened once or twice. But someone has to take the lead, Mark, in our Republican Party. And as Lieutenant Governor of Texas, as someone who has been a champion of the conservative grassroots, by the way, Michael and the grassroots largely responsible for me being in the office I'm in. And I feel like that's what that gives me some credibility to speak out, where others who maybe they have been against would speak out and someone would say, well, they're just angry. No, look, as the documents have all said, They have supported me more than any other candidate financially. We've agreed on more than we've disagreed. We obviously don't disagree 100%, and we work together on a lot of issues. But for whatever reason, I'm not sure what they are, Michael has been very divisive this session. And look, the people listening to you and me right now, most of them don't know who Michael is. Some of them don't even know who the lieutenant governor is. Most of them do. But they don't like this infighting. And so I'm trying to put a stop to it. Mark, well, we have to get focused.
But it's,
on
you're totally right about that. I mean, you're absolutely right about that. However, if there are differences, to slide them under the rug is not helpful either. And I think we have some differences.
Well, I'm not sliding them under the rug.
No, I understand.
Mark.
But
that's
I'm not suggesting you are. Let me tell you how last week went. Without regard to Michael or anybody, this enhanced background check thing, not going over well. People believe this is private commerce. People believe this is none of government's business. And the one thing, and they may not care about Michael at all, but the notion that, well, apparently you're fine with selling your guns to total strangers who can't pass a background check because they could be a violent felon. Some folks were kind of insulted by that, as if they are cavalier.
Well, Mark, let me ask you a question.
So
let's
go
just
ahead.
Be blunt. Yeah, let me be straightforward here. Because let's take these two issues, the Dennis Bonin issue and the gun issue. So let me ask you an honest question. I'm really not focused on what Michael believes or doesn't believe. But you are correct. When you equate someone, Governor Abbott or myself, because there was another editorial this week in their scorecard publication, that you also have to be aware of Michael Quinn Sullivan, you have to be aware of James Dickey, our state chairman. It's as if everyone is under attack. And what I said on Fox before I left for vacation 2 weeks ago and in the Dallas Morning News is that everything needs to be on the table. This is a multi-issue. This domestic violence, it's violent video games, it's social media, it's mental health issues, it is, and strangers getting guns from strangers. And that I thought the NRA was wrong on this issue to be opposed to it. I didn't say I was defying the NRA or the Second Amendment. That was the media that said that, you know, the fake news headline. What I said is I'm in agreement with the NRA on we don't want to ban assault weapons. I'm in agreement with the NRA that we don't want a national registry.
Right.
I'm in agreement almost every time, Mark. In fact, I think every session I've been in the legislature, I've gotten an A. Last year when I ran for lieutenant governor, I got an A+. Under my watch, Mark, I have passed open carry. I passed concealed carry. I passed every bill that the NRA has asked us to pass, including last session. They didn't have a major agenda because we're one of the most gun-friendly states in the country, and they will acknowledge that. And so you are correct. When I see a fellow Republican in the position of Michael suggest that there's a moral equivalent to Beto O'Rourke and me or Beto O'Rourke and Governor Abbott, that's just absurd.
He did no such thing. In the same breath, yes, they said whether it's Beto with confiscation or you trying to tell us what we can do with them. Listen, I understand the you getting your back
up. But it's serious because you undermine our when you make those outrageous statements. And in their editorial this week, that Dan Patrick and Greg Abbott are more dangerous to the state of Texas than Beto O'Rourke. That is so over the top, Mark.
Of course it is. Let's slide that aside because I don't care about that. I mean, listen, I think your point.
Please.
Here's the thing. Here's what we've got to do.
Sure.
This is surgically precise. Enhanced background checks of the type that you embraced are going over like a lead balloon on this show.
And here's why.
Because people view it as an incursion into private commerce. People didn't like it. They absolutely revile the idea of enhanced background checks. They believe that it is worshiping at another phony altar and that it's because we are scared of losing Texas and becoming purple that we feel like we've got to give an olive branch to the left.
No, Mark, that's just wrong. Okay, look, Mark, that is just flat wrong. It has nothing to do with an olive branch to the left. It has nothing to do because we have to do something or otherwise. Mark, before I left on my vacation, I was in Midland. And, Mark, no one in the state of Texas, unless you're a chaplain or work at a funeral home, no one has been to more memorial services, more funerals, more hospital visits over the last 5 years with the 70 people who have been killed in Texas and the incredible number who have been wounded, some seriously, some will never be able to walk or work again, than Greg Abbott or myself. And I'd come back from Midland, And I remember talking to a family. They believe the only family that talked to that gunman in Midland. And they said, we were visiting the Chris Kyle Memorial on that Saturday afternoon. And we knew on the radio there was a shooting, and a postal truck pulled up next to us. They were just sitting off the side of the road near the Chris Kyle Memorial in Midland. And they thought, they didn't know this killer at that point had stolen a postal truck. They thought it was a postal truck. Mm-hmm. They felt safe. And it pulled up next to them. And the person wound their window down and said, what's going on? And they said, well, there's a shooter on the loose. And that guy then pulled out his gun, shot him point blank through the window. It's a miracle that the husband and wife are both alive. Mm-hmm. That guy should never have had a gun. He failed a background check. And I can't talk about classified material. There's been a lot of stories that have been leaked. But he either got that gun from a stranger, got that gun from a friend. But he got the gun in a way that seven people died, Mark. And seven people died because he got a gun he shouldn't have had. Now, let me ask you a question on this background check. And look, I can't control your screen. You know, I used to do talk radio for a living. I can't control who gets into your show and calls. But, Mark, it's clear, and I don't poll things first, by the way, as one of your reporters last week, not yours, but that you had a guest on. I take a position that I believe in, and then I actually look at it and say, you know, where am I on this issue? And I will tell you, Mark, that the overwhelming number of people, Republican voters and people in Texas and conservative independents, do not – we all say the same, Mark, and that is it's not the gun, it's the person who has the gun.
Right.
And that we need to keep guns out of the hands of criminals, felons,
great,
people who may be able, maybe wanting to
understand
commit violence. Okay,
but
we all need to do that.
The fact is, the answer from the answer from 80% of the callers I took was not this way, not this way, not by starting with a presumption of criminality that forces individuals to go before some run down the road to some gun dealer in order to engage in an act of private commerce. That the overwhelming of me, my buddy Chad Hasty up in Lubbock, I said, listen, we're not trolling for this. I'm totally willing to have the conversation, and I'm having the conversation, and Dan. Vast majorities of people revile this enhanced background
Mark, I have been in contact with scores of gun owners since I've been gone. Scores of gun owners. I've had one so far. And I'm not saying that there are people that don't like this, Mark, but here's the point I was making. And this is, I think, important overall, mm-hmm. is that the left, when you say today you're against gay marriage, you're homophobic. When I carry the bathroom bill, well, you don't like transgenders. No, I don't want boys and girls showering together in high school, and I don't want young boys taking scholarships from girls, okay? But yes, but they call me, you know, they attack. And for those of us who want to secure the border, and no one's been a leader more than me on that, or President Trump, we're racist. Mark, the fact that I want to have this discussion, should we in our party should be willing to have an open discussion without attack.
You're totally right.
No,
I spend a lot of time defending it. People say, because people have gotten me, say, well, I'm done with Dan Patrick. That's stupid. You're the most conservative person in public office in the Senate. So don't obsess about the people who've overreacted to you.
But let me ask you this question, Mark, because we'll run out of time. So here's the point. I don't know if your audience knows, but do you know how many people go through a background check who buy a gun now in the United States and in Texas? Do you know what percentage it is?
Oh, tell me.
Okay. The NRA approximates and estimates it could be as high as 90%,
sure.
Mark.
Because most people are buying in stores. Right, stores and gun shows.
And the U.S. government estimates it at 80 to 90%.
Right.
So today, Mark, and let's just split the difference. 85% of all people who buy a gun, Mark, have no problem going to a gun store and doing a background check. 85%, Mark. And of that remaining, and we're averaging it, of that remaining 15%, or in the NRA's case, they think it's only 10% who don't, the estimate, we don't know, is about half are family and friends and half are stranger to stranger. I have been very clear. I do not want to impact whatsoever the ability to sell or transfer a gun to a member of your family or your friend. So we're talking, Mark, somewhere around 5 to 7% of the entire population that wants to be able to buy a gun from a stranger or sell a gun to a stranger. Now, Mark, I own all the guns. I have the AR-15s. I have the AK-47s. You name it, I own it. I would never, Mark, ever, and I don't know of any responsible gun owner, Mark, who would ever take their AR-15 or their AK-47 or any other gun they have and sell it to a total stranger?
Completely right, which is what a lot of people said last week, which is because I trust them, because I write me too, and I trust those transactions, which is why a lot of people on the show yesterday said we don't need the enhanced background.
What do you mean you trust those transactions?
I trust the people making those transactions as vast majority, by and large, law-abiding people who are not involved in some horrible subterfuge.
Okay,
that's
Mark,
why.
And it's great that you, Mark, wait a minute. Let's really seriously talk through this for a second. I trust people too, Mark, but I'm the lieutenant governor of the state of Texas, and I have a responsibility to do the best I can to protect the lives. That's our number one job. And we've had 70 people killed in one case because it would appear the young man got guns he shouldn't have from his parents. I don't want to be sued by them. That's what it appears.
Understand.
In another case, the military did not report to the federal government that shooter at the church should not have had a gun. In this case, this guy, it's a different reason for everyone. But, Mark, it's great that you trust other people that won't sell their gun to a stranger. And, again, look, I'm just saying we have to have this discussion, Mark.
Well, we're having it, and it's failing. Conservatives hate it. We're having it. I mean, I've had it for a week, and they conservatives, they hate this. They hate the enhanced background. They just do. You're going to find out. I'm telling you. I love you.
What, Mark, let me tell you. What do you mean I'm going to find out? I'm telling you. Mark. Let's have a discussion with your listeners right now in depth on this. I just answered the question.
I know.
You trust. Why do you trust other people?
Because they are law-abiding people, and we're taking
law-abiding?
And the people who are engaging in these private transactions, and they don't need to be governmentalized.
Time out. This is something you don't know the facts on this.
I most certainly do. That's condescending again.
Would you sell your AR-15 to a total stranger?
That's why I don't need to governmentalize that transaction. That's a private transaction between me and somebody else in government
You wouldn't do it, right, Mark?
Right.
You wouldn't do it.
Of course not.
Okay, but Mark, there are other people. Mark, there are other people who don't have the integrity and the character or care about who buys that gun that you have.
I know.
And that most of your audience has.
Bad people will do
bad
things.
And so, Mark, all we're saying is, if you want to sell a gun to a total stranger, and the State Rifle Association, they advise all their members not to do it. The NRA would say, we don't want any of our people selling to total strangers.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark, everyone in society is not as trustworthy as you.
Bad people are going to do bad things.
You have to understand this.
Bad people do bad things.
Why would a person, in some cases, want to buy a gun from a stranger and avoid a background check?
Because it's none of government's business. There's an answer to that question. That is the answer to that question. You asked a very good question.
Mark, it is not the answer to the question.
Go ahead.
It is not, Mark. The NRA doesn't object to, as they say, 90% of people going through a background check.
Right.
No one objects to that.
Right.
So why are we letting 5% of the population, which, Mark, we can tell you, here's another fact for you. Do you know since 1994, when we began background checks, over 3 million people have been caught through the background check system?
Absolutely.
3 million.
You bet.
And of those, Mark, over 750,000 were felons. It's called lie and try.
I understand.
So when a felon gets caught, the government really doesn't do a lot about it. So think about this, Mark. Who is that person? Again, most people aren't going to be felons, criminals, and people who have serious mental issues trying to buy a gun. But we should, in this case of Midland, there would be 7 people alive today, Mark, alive today, had a stranger not sold another stranger a gun. Or maybe they knew each other. We don't know. We don't know those facts yet. But we know he shouldn't have had that gun. And 7 people. And all I'm saying, Mark, is why are we letting 5% of the population? Again, we protect family, sales, and friends. Why are we letting 5% of the population sell to strangers?
Many people believe that's none of government's business. We got three minutes left. Maybe some people think it's not. You're going
to
get a lot of pushback. I love you. We have 3 minutes on Bonin.
I thought we were
going to
do the whole half hour.
Well, it's 7:27. So here's the deal. Some folks think you're being.
Mark, do you understand? Let me just.
No, I understand. I totally understand. Understand your point of view. Of course I do. Of course.
That's all we're trying to do. Do you
understand?
There are some people out there who don't care who they sell a gun to.
Absolutely.
And they don't know if that person's a felon or criminal or seriously mentally challenged who's ready to
commit.
They don't know.
Do you
understand? And why we as a society want to allow that. Absolutely. We ought to at least have that discussion without Michael Quinn and everyone.
I don't give two craps about Michael Quinn Sullivan's opinion of you. What I care about is the caller after caller after caller who said that this is a
well, maybe they don't have all of these facts.
Let's see if everybody's
happy to sit in for you and do the whole show
let's
one
see
day.
If everybody's every changed call. Their mind now. Some people think you're being overprotective of Bonin. Why haven't you heard the tape?
I'm not being overprotective of Bonin at all. Let me tell you about this tape. Michael says that he recorded the tape to protect himself legally.
Right.
Okay, fine. But then about a few weeks after the meeting, he does a full story on the internet about the meeting. Mm-hmm. Well, that had nothing to do with protecting himself. He put it out there.
Right.
And after he put it out there, Dennis came out and said, well, that's true. And then right after that, Michael says, I have a tape. This is back in July, Mark. Well, if you have a tape and you tape the meeting and you're the one who wrote the story that brought it out to the public and you're the one who says, I have a tape, then play the dang tape.
Well, he has, for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people have heard it. None of them think Bonin comes across well at it.
Yeah. Well, Mark, but what does that mean? Look, he called me and the governor and alluded to the fact that because I wouldn't go and listen to a tape in secret, I'm a coward.
Yeah, but again,
there's not a governor in the state.
Then why not listen to it?
Okay, here's the deal.
Okay.
And you can broker the deal. Have Michael send me the tape.
Yes.
I will listen to it, and I will release it to the public. Because here's the deal,
Mark. But what if he doesn't want it released to the public, and that's his business?
Please let me finish on this.
Sure.
No governor, attorney general, or lieutenant governor, or anybody else is going to go into some lawyer's office and listen to a tape in secret that someone recorded in a meeting.
Well, what do you have to say about
that? Governor Abbott and I would never do that.
But a number of elected representatives did.
Well, that's up to them, Mark. But as lieutenant governor, I'm not going to. What would you? You'd say, Dan, you listen to the tape. What do you think?
That's a completely fair.
Just put the tape out there because here's what's happening, Mark. Look, I don't object to Michael taping it. And everything I've read from the handful of people who have listened to it, or have a couple of dozen, it appears what he has said is true. And by the way, when he wrote his story, I assumed he had a tape, by the way, immediately. But here's the story, Mark, that it's dividing our party right now. You had the SREC split 50-50 whether to ask Dennis to resign or not. You've had various county parties, some wanting to resign, some wanting to stay. You have members resign or stay. Mark, we have to put this behind us. And every member, if Michael has the tape, every member of the legislature should hear it and the public should hear it. And if that means Dennis resigns afterwards, so be it. If it means the members decide it's okay, so be it. But, Mark, we can't have this go on through 2020 election. Look, this is all about Michael bringing attention to himself. I'm sorry. If you're going to tape a secret meeting and then write about the secret meeting and then say, I have a tape, and then not release it, what is that all about?
I think he has, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Okay. However, I think he has a 1,000% right not to release the entire thing because there are things on the entire thing that he might not want to do that. So,
Mark, but then don't write about it.
Why not? Why not write about the relevant things that are in there? Why not? Especially when they're corroborated
Mark,
by every Republican who's heard it.
Mark, you're a journalist. Mm-hmm. If you had a meeting and taped someone secretly and went on your show and said, let me tell you about this conversation.
Right.
And then you said, oh, I have a tape. Mm-hmm. And, I'm sorry, listeners, I'm not telling you what's on that tape.
I'm telling you everything that's on the tape, but I'm not releasing the entire thing, but I'm letting everybody hear it.
How do I know you're telling me the truth?
Exactly right. That's completely fair. People can cast aspersion on the tape if they wish, but he has the right not to release it.
But Mark, look, we have to be together to defeat Democrats. And most House members, Mark, have not heard the tape, so they don't know what to say. They don't know to protect Dennis, and then the tape comes out later, and then they look terrible. They don't know to come out now and say Dennis should resign, and the tape comes out and it's not as bad. I'm just saying, I don't buy this. I don't want to hurt the Republican Party by not putting out the tape. This drip, drip, drip is hurting. And look, everyone in the legislature believes this. Governor, everybody has called for Michael to release the tape. And again, this has nothing to do with Dennis. If the tape is bad and Dennis needs to go, he needs to go. But it's up to the House. And the members have a right to hear. We're 2 months away.
Fair enough.
And that's what has to happen. So my criticism, when I say Michael is hurting the party, it's this. Mm. The whole state is divided on this. He needs to release the tape. and let it be where it is. And I totally support that.
All right.
Governor Abbott and I aren't going into a lawyer's office.
That's a right that you have, and I understand your position there. I love you, Dan Patrick. You're a conservative.
I love you, Mark.
You're a conservative hero to me every day. Folks don't like them enhanced background checks, my friend. They don't like them.
Mark, you keep saying that. Yep. You keep saying that.
Ask them yourself.
But you ask the average person, they don't want a person who's a criminal or a felon to get a gun, and they don't like the idea that some stranger out there who's making a big profit can sell a gun to a stranger.
Okay. All righty. Hey, next time, who knows
that
what?
Meanwhile, 100%, Mark.
No, totally. I totally get that. Totally get it. And I'm so glad you were here, and I love you every day, and I appreciate you being on this.
I love you guys. But we can't have a discussion as Republicans about how to address this issue, the public will say you're not willing to face every part of the issue. And this does not change anyone's Second Amendment rights. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a gun registry. It does none of that, Mark. And I trust you won't sell your gun to a bad guy.
Correct.
But I can't trust every Texan out there. And I can tell you this. Someone, Mark, in the state of Texas, Mark, sold a gun to a bad guy. And they always will.
All right, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
They won't always will, Mark. Strangers won't sell to strangers if we say they can't without getting a background check.
Okay.
That doesn't mean they won't steal the gun. It doesn't mean they won't get it some way. We have to do the best we can so that those seven people in Midland didn't die when someone sold a gun that failed a background check.
Right.
And Mark, that's 5% of the population. We already do a background check.
Lieutenant Governor.
The Second Amendment does not guarantee you the right to sell your AK-57 to someone who's a felon and hiding their identity, and they buy the gun from you.
Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Protect that, Mark.
I got to fly. I love you, man. Talk to you soon. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, 7:34, into the newsroom next with Gordon Griffin. All right. How'd that work out for everybody? 866-660-5759. This is kind of unprecedented. I blew away an entire commercial break. There's no way in the world I was stopping the show for that. Gordon is standing by for the news. Mike Gallagher thereafter. Mike's been listening from, was he in New York or Florida? I don't know. We'll ask Robin Leach. Mike's been listening to the whole thing. If you're on hold right now, sit tight, grab a coffee, grab a bagel, 805. I love that man so much. He is a conservative hero to me, always will be. He's dead wrong on this enhanced background checks thing. And okay, by wrong, I mean out of sync with virtually everyone who talked to me yesterday. They do not like the enhanced background checks, and he can't make people like them. Anyway, 7:39, Gordon is in the newsroom.
Tell me what I say. Tell me what I say. Baby.
What did I say? Lieutenant Governor said.
Tell me what I say, man.
Hey, you got two ways to find out if you just missed that segment, that titanically long segment.
Tell me what I say, yeah.
Ray Charles' birthday, by the way, born 89 years ago today. Mike Gallagher joins us. Hi, Mike. Sorry.
Well, hey, you said everything right. I mean, I let me just dive right in. I listened to the whole thing, and it was a fascinating exchange. And kudos to him for coming on.
And I love him. We love each other.
I love him too, but you're a tough interviewer on this subject because you have the pulse of the people in a way that he doesn't. And you know, there's an old expression, the dogs don't like the food. And guess what? Texans don't like playing footsie with the Democrats who want to come confiscate our guns, and they're open about it. They're very obvious. They're transparent about
your theory
it.
Your theory is great, and that is there may be X number of Texans who are pretty sort of maybe kind of okay with enhanced background checks, but in this season, right now, they want to give no ground.
You can't pretend you haven't heard them promise to confiscate guns. You can't pretend that. Now, I got to be honest with you. I would probably be more along the lines of Dan Patrick prior to hearing the Democrats line up. Again, when Beto O'Rourke promises to confiscate guns, if you don't hear denunciations from the rest of the Democrats in the field, then you have to assume they're on board.
Yeah.
So they are lining up in total to come take our guns. So I'm sorry, you can't expand anything right now. You better not expand anything right now. You better dig your heels in and tell them to go pound salt, because since you want to confiscate guns, no, guess what? Think again. You're not going to do it. And that's why you are correct. And Mr. Patrick is not.
And for those who missed it, we're going to, obviously the podcast will be up after the show is over, but Ron is going to go harvest it, curate it, and we're going to play the whole thing again at 9:05.
Good.
I love him so much. And I heard from a lot of people who he's not being grouped in with Beto. Nobody's suggesting that Dan has lost all of his conservative. But in the story, he himself himself tells of the pain of attending these funerals, of what seeing what's happened in a Midland or in a Sutherland Springs, how your heart can eat your brain. It can make you want to, quote unquote, do something.
Right.
And right. And the difference.
But nobody's doing. But Mark, no, but I didn't mean to interrupt you. But let me just jump on this. No, he's not coming about this in a bad faith effort.
No,
he really
of course
isn't.
Not.
He's approaching this in good faith. The problem is the other side does not.
Yeah.
They are not approaching this in good faith. Do you really think they don't want to confiscate guns if we gave them an inch? And do you really not think they'll take a mile? And Dan Patrick said something toward the conclusion of your interview that really was profound. He said, you know, when he was pushing back at you, he kept saying, we need to have a discussion about this.
Yeah.
Well, we are.
I had it for
we
a
are.
Week.
That's
people,
exactly.
People hate it. I can have it all this week, and everybody's still going to hate it. And why won't they tell him? It's because he's the lieutenant governor. They know he loves it, and they love him, and they don't want to get up in his grill. You know, I'm just sitting here doing a radio show. People will tell me that they love or hate anything on face value. I think they're kind of they're playing footsie with him because they've loved him for so long.
Listen, when Robert Francis O'Rourke goes on television and says he's basically getting bombarded with Texans who want to turn in their guns to him, you know he's lying.
Yep.
You know it's bad faith. You know these folks don't play by any rules. They want to crush us. They want to destroy us. With Trump, they've gone from, let's start with Russia. That didn't work. Let's try racism. That didn't work. Now let's try Ukraine. And these lunatics who just want to destroy, they seek and destroy missions, they'll do the same thing on the Second Amendment. Nobody doubts that. You have the right to keep and bear arms and don't expand anything. So great job, incidentally.
Well, I'm sorry it took up a lot of time.
No, I'm glad it did.
Mike, but I tell you what, though, it takes away the 15 or 20 minutes that we would have talked about Ukraine.
Or would we?
Yeah, well, and that's real important. I'll get to it at 10 o'clock if you don't get to it at 9.
I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Two words. Ready? Who cares? And I'm dead serious. I don't care that much if Hunter Biden did doodly poodly squat. And I certainly don't care if President Trump was on the phone to the president of Ukraine asking about what Biden and Biden's kid. This is more stupid sideshows, Mike, isn't it?
I'm not sure we shouldn't care about the vice president bragging about getting a prosecutor fired who possibly was investigating his son and the shady business dealings. Here's the headline over at The Spectator, David Catrone. This Ukraine bombshell will explode in Democratic faces. I mean, they're gonna
will
be
it?
Careful what you wish for.
I know. That would be lovely. I mean,
guy was made Hunter Biden, and bless his heart, I'm not denigrating drug addicts. Mm-hmm. I have happen to have drug addicts in my life who I love dearly, so I'm not saying that. But Hunter Biden, a drug addict, recovering drug addict, was making $50,000. I'm gonna get the number right. $50,000 a month for about 4 years. He made several million dollars as a board member. Something funky was going on here. And guess what? I heard Lindsey Graham this morning. Now we're going to find out.
He wants the Department of Justice to look into it, which I'd be fine.
Let's do all things Ukraine. Let's open the hood.
You want to talk Ukraine? We'll talk Ukraine.
You want to talk Ukraine? Let's find out why Joe Biden was bragging about getting the prosecutor fired who maybe was investigating his son. Okay.
Right.
Here we go. Off to the races.
Right,
great
else,
job.
What
today,
else
Mark.
What else you want to do? Give me one other thing. I feel like I've given you terribly short
shrift.
We got
to talk about the Democrats. Got it real short. Democrats descending on Iowa, the ones that don't want us to eat meat.
The steak fries.
Hear how many tons of steak fries they made.
A bunch of hypocrites. Awesome. Bunch of clowns.
Great job today, Mark.
Thank you. We will make up for it tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about. Listen, Mike's got his time right now today at 10 o'clock, so join him for that. All right, it is 7:51. Let me take a pause. I'll come back. Got a couple of things to sort of set up because I got a bunch of you on hold to react to our chat with Lieutenant Governor, as will I, and we'll dive into that next. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 7:52. Alrighty, 7:57. Just finished up with Mike Gallagher. Before that, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. And he is not coming off the enhanced background checks. I do not pretend that I started the day thinking I could peel him away from that. I wanted to know his thought about the waves of revulsion that I got on this show, that my buddy Chad Hasty got up in Lubbock. And I don't pretend that those are scientific surveys. They're not. But I think I will steadfastly believe that serious, rock-solid Second Amendment conservatives do not for 1 minute believe that governmentalizing a private transaction of a gun sale prevents shootings. Lieutenant Governor believes it does, and we're going to see how that works out for him. Your calls are next. Thanks for hanging on, everybody. We had a lot to do, so here comes top of the hour news, and then I'm diving right toward your calls on this or anything else from the weekend. 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 758.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.